Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Dead center of our work week, though it's a little atypical for a lot of Americans. I know this coming weekend is a huge travel weekend. It is for us in our house. I know it is for a lot of other people, too. So many preparations still going on. Our kitchen table looks like a Christmas tree shop threw up. I mean, we do have some decorations in the middle of it. Now I've got anniversary flowers, which are purple primarily because that was our main wedding color a year ago. But purple and pink and blue, they're beautiful. And my husband always outdoes himself when it comes to surprises, and he knows that I adore flowers and horses. And so the anniversary was full of flowers and horses. And then lots of food, because that's my love language. We cooked, we baked, we did a little dancing in honor of our anniversary, a couple of fun gifts, and lots of laughs, some tears at how blessed we are, how grateful we are that God brought us together. We call it our collision course, and still the magnitude of it and how it started, how many years back the different pieces were falling into place, and what an answer to prayer it was for so many years. Those memories and those realizations over the past year have often caused us to tear up and just be so grateful that it's 1 year down and forever to go. And I appreciate all of your messages so much. I know that you primarily tune in to hear about sports, and we do sports. But I tell my students this, and I firmly believe this, that once you establish connections and a relationship with your listeners, well, then you can talk about anything because you're friends, your companions. You all have heard me and seen me and been part of my growing up, if you will, not just in this business over the last 12 years, developing as a very different radio host from when I started. But we've gone through so much together. Most recently, the pandemic, of course, and how that changed a lot of the ways that we consume media, certainly changed the way that I host my radio shows. And it became more about connection than it is about sports. And I'll tell you the truth, it's something I don't say a lot, but it's something that's completely 100% accurate. I love radio more than I love sports. If you took away sports tomorrow, or if I had to choose between radio and sports the rest of my life, it would be radio, because radio is the art form that I love. Radio is my first love. And if I couldn't talk about sports anymore, there's still a bazillion other things that I could talk about and really enjoy radio. And it's fun to know that you all have bought in because of the connection that we have and the relationship we've established, for some of you going back even before I was here, back to my previous network. So for that reason, I'm so grateful to you all for caring about my personal life. When I started this time of the year, the holidays, Producer Pete, this is long before you were here on the show, but of course you're one of the original employees of the network as well. Back when we first started the network around the holidays, people always ask, what are your New Year's resolutions? And every year, somewhat joking, but also somewhat serious, I would say my resolution for next year is to get married every single year. And it became somewhat of a joke, and I understand why people would laugh. I waited a long time. It took a long time for a lot of reasons, none of which are all that exciting. But it did take a long time for it to work out. And I just am so grateful I never have to say that again. But yes, the start of 2024, or 23, excuse me, 24, we're already married. Start of 2023, my husband and I, future husband and I, knew each other. But at that point, we hadn't even had a phone conversation yet, hadn't even had a date yet. My mom had introduced us at her church in Texas, which is where he attended. We met. We exchanged maybe a half dozen emails. And then on Christmas Eve 2022, he wrote me the longest email in the history of man. I've never seen an email this long before from a dude. Pictures. He just decided to open up. And I know for a lot of reasons he was reticent to do that. But when he decided to open up, it really unlocked a different conversation. And so by March of 23, we were talking. And of course, we were married in December. So after a 9-month kind of whirlwind, long distance relationship, it was better for us to get married. But yeah, I never have to say that anymore. I started every single year for a couple decades. What's your New Year's resolution? Well, to get married. This might be the year. And I'll be darned if 2023 wasn't finally the year. And I never have to say that again. But people would hear that for years now. And it's pretty incredible to look back. Every now and then as humans, it's such a neat exercise to stop, turn around, and look at how far you've come. Whether a year, whether 5 years, whether 10 years, or I'll go back to, because on December 31st, here on the network, we mark 12 years since the launch. January 1st, 2013, our very first day on the air. It was a brand new network. It was created from the minds of our former bosses, Mark and Eric. Eric Spitz, who's now with SiriusXM, Mark Chernoff, who's a Hall of Famer. They started this network, and we were part of the original group, and what are there, maybe 6 of us that are still left from the original group of employees?
That sounds right. I think it's 5 or 6, yeah.
What does that say about us? Are we old? Are we stuck in the mud?
No, that's...
Well, we're older, that's for sure.
That's good longevity.
It is, and I'm proud of what we've done here at the network. I know there are a lot of changes. Some of you may have heard that Rich Eisen is taking over the time slot that has previously been inhabited by Jim Rome. Rome is not only changing networks, although he's going to one of our partners, which is weird. Don't ask me how this works. But he's going to be officially a Westwood One radio host and is changing time slots. Now, he's in LA, so he does what is 9 a.m. to noon California time. He's about to do noon to 3 Pacific time, which is 3 to 6 East Coast drive time. And he'll be on Westwood One. So replacing him in the midday spot, again, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, is Rich Eisen. Longtime ESPN Sports Center anchor, then, and has been with the NFL Network now for a couple of decades. Also does his own radio show and podcast and all that jazz. He is moving to our network. And so we will have Rich Eisen where Jim Rome used to be. And other changes, I'm sure, after the new year. But the industry changes so rapidly and so often that 12 years in one spot, that's rare. And I can't believe 12 years on overnight since this network started. And you're doing a different part of the mornings now, but you were on early mornings for over a decade.
I started at the 6 a.m. Well, then it was 6 a.m. to noon Eastern time, and then it went to 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern.
How many different morning shows has this network had? Oh, my gosh.
Well,
the first one was Brian and...
Tiki, Brandon, and Dana.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And then it was...
Then it was Tiki and Tierney.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was...
Gio.
Gio and Jones.
Yep. That's
then
three.
It was Taz and a Moose.
That's four.
Then it was DA.
That's five.
And then Maggie Perloff.
Six.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean about the radio industry turning over so rapidly. The fact that Jim Rome had been in the same time slot for decades, that's nearly unheard of. The fact that we've been on the air after hours with Amy Lawrence for 12 years. We started with the name of the show in weekend number two because we had a listener contest and we were inundated with thousands of names and we ended up using After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Oh, if I had the list of names that were submitted, Pete, your eyes might roll back in your head.
I wouldn't be surprised, though.
As you can imagine, some of them were slightly creepy and little bit weird, but we were able to settle with After Hours, and it's worked, and now here we are wrapping up year number 12. Though my last shows from, well, my last shows on the network in 2024 will be from my mom's spare bedroom in Houston. The After Hours super secret home base. We started that during COVID, Christmas of, I guess it was 21, so later COVID, but Christmas of 21, and we called it the After Hours super secret home base. But here's what people love about that is we always manage to get mom on the air when we're in Houston. Now, she hates being on the radio, hates it, but she'll do it because I'm there and because I'm persuasive and I cajole. And so she will do it again, I'm sure, because this is, yeah, this is wrapping up year 12. So I tell her, Mom, this is a big deal. 12 years. I've been on the air the entire time. And it's the first time with producer Pete. So maybe I'll use you as a reason.
I hope it inspires her.
Yeah, I think it will. She makes faces at me the whole time. So we've had her a couple of times on the phone here on the show. If you've missed it, those are on our YouTube channel. It's amazing. But the last time was when I was there in Houston, and she's sitting with an extra microphone in the spare bedroom right in front of me. She's in a chair. And as I'm asking questions and talking to her, she's making faces the whole time. Not easy to do. Not easy to remain focused on the radio quality when my mom is making faces about the fact that I'm making her do a radio interview. Anyway, so we'll be doing that. And my husband does not want to be on the air. People ask. He's been here in studio before. He did last New Year's Eve here in studio because it was our first one. We'd only been married about 2 weeks. So he was here, but he does not want to be on the radio.
You could disguise your voice like the character in Scream.
We could use one of those voice synthesizer.
Yeah.
She said voice synthesizers. Voice synthesizers. Yeah, we could do that, I suppose. But he's not real interested. He likes to remain a mystery.
That's good, though.
For people who think it's my choice not to share his photo online, I mean, it's partly mine because of the cesspool that is social media. I know not all of you, but a lot of you. And because of the stalking quality out there, it's got a, yeah, I
People.
The last time I had a serious stalker who said to me he was going to come to my house and threatened me, I just decided I had to take every precaution. So it's in part that he doesn't want to be online, like in my photos, and that's okay. And it's in part because I want to protect him and protect our families. So people keep asking, when do we get to see a photo of Bob? When do we get to know Bob's real name? Neither of those things is likely anytime soon. Maybe when we celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary. How about that? At that point, maybe we'll not have any teeth. And we will be happy to share photos with you. But there is a photo. There actually, this is maybe not what you're asking. Maybe not what you want. But there are two photos of both of us up now on my social media sites at A-Law Radio and our Facebook page. There are two. So you can take of those what you want, but don't say I didn't ever put photos of him up there because that's not true. 855-212-4227. I'm staring at the TV right now and Patrick Mahomes is talking about his high ankle sprain. He did practice on Tuesday. And the Chiefs do expect him to play Saturday against the Texans. How often Andy Reid will tell us that he has to fight his quarterback to bring him off the field. This is how tough Mahomes is. He is not in any way interested in sitting out a game, even if it's the stretch where they have three games in 11 days. No. Instead, he wants to go out there. He wants to play. But the issue, of course, is whether or not he can get out of trouble. Can he protect himself from a pass rush? Much of Mahomes' magic comes when he is evading and escaping and extending plays. But if he cannot do that, if he cannot evade the pass rush of the Texans, like, I don't know, Will Robinson, well, then you put him at risk by throwing him out there. So that's part of the deal. But he did go through a full practice on Tuesday. You'll hear from Andy Reid coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're also going to work a little of this NBA Cup nonsense in. I'm sorry, it's a gimmick. But I think it's really funny that you had champagne provided by the NBA and none of the Bucks drank it. They cleared the deck. There were no other games in the NBA last night. Do you think that meant huge ratings? I guess we'll find out.
It's a Tuesday.
It's before Christmas.
Right. So you might get the casual viewer.
Maybe.
Thinking, oh, this is asking the questions of why are we competing for a cup now?
Maybe.
You might get that. So I would say it probably did decent.
We'll have to compare the numbers to what Bills Lions drew, which that's your tease. How big was that audience for America's Game of the Week on the NFL on Fox? We'll get to that coming up. But really quickly, I want to answer your questions about the dog because I have been inundated with your questions about the foster dog. This really makes me sad, but we had to return her to her foster home. And one of the things I've learned about this dog adoption process is it's not just about what I want. It's also about what's good for the family. It's about what's good for not just the other two pets, but also the other human that's in my home. And it's clear that she was mistreated in the past, which just broke our hearts. But the way that she responded to my husband made us leery. And a couple of times she snarled at him and snapped at him. She had backed herself into a corner. So he didn't put her in a corner, but she had backed herself into a corner and he was trying to reach out to her and trying to calm her down. And she got really defensive and bared her teeth and snarled at him and snapped at him. And then another time she wasn't even in a corner. This was kind of the last thing we had to decide to send her back to the foster. Because he was standing next to her and he kind of reached out toward her and she nearly bit him. And she never did that with me. So we think it's pretty clear that she was mistreated by a man. And again, that breaks our hearts because she is a sweet dog and she deserves a good home. We've actually been praying for her and we're keeping in touch with the rescue organization to find out how she's doing and to find out when she gets placed in a good home. I think the deal is she'd be better in a home without another dog because the resource guarding, it wasn't just about taking stuff and running and hiding with it and even kind of guarding aggressively. But it was also about the way that she reacted when humans would attempt to get that stuff back. And sometimes she had stuff that she shouldn't have, which was dangerous. Like one time, for instance, she was chewing on a piece of a toy and I was worried that she was going to swallow it, which would have been bad for her. But it was really difficult for us to get it away from her because of the resource guarding. All of that, though, we would have kept. The crazy chewing, everything. She trash, earrings, paper towels, every manner of soft object in my entire house, socks, slippers, shoes, toys. She went through 7 different rope toys and destroyed them in like 3 minutes. All of that would have been something that we could have worked with her on, but we were afraid to take her to our big family Christmas where there's a 5-year-old around and how she might react in that type of a situation. And so we took her back to the foster and said to them, we believe she'd be better in a home without another dog. And so that was really hard. I cried. I did it on Saturday. I cried. We'd had her for 3 weeks and it was really hard for me to say goodbye to her. But we know that what's better for her is to be in a different situation. And also for our dog, Daisy, it was kind of tough at times for Daisy because she would get run over by this big dog. And then my cat Sugar, who's 16, actually almost 17, She barely came downstairs for 3 weeks, and we didn't want her to spend the rest of her life living upstairs and not feeling comfortable. So, yes, it was really hard to do. It was hard to make that choice, but we felt like the dog would have been better in a different situation, and also I had to recognize what was best for the other people and pets in our home. But it was tough. I'd not gone through a situation like that before, and if I had been single, I would have kept her. But that's not my reality, and we believe that she'll be better somewhere else. But we are keeping tabs on her, and we're actually working on finding a different dog now. Pete, I'm not kidding. I had no idea the foster / adoption process for dogs was so extensive. I don't know when this happened, but it is wowzers. It's one of those things you kept your hopes up, and then no, you're not the right person, or oh my gosh, it's rough on your emotions.
Because the dogs that are up are up for adoption have had such intense backgrounds.
A lot of them are strays or abandoned or dumped.
And contrary to popular belief, they don't speak to us dogs. So it's really hard to figure out what their emotions are until they are with somebody.
Right. Do you see how they react? And of course it takes some time, but because she nearly bit my husband, we just decided that wasn't the right situation. We didn't want to be nervous around other people. But yeah, it was still a very tough thing to do. And I still kind of miss her running around the house like a Tasmanian devil, but we are working on some other options. And what I found out is that a lot of dogs come out of the South in Texas. They have hundreds of thousands of dogs in kill shelters because that's the only type of shelter they have in Texas. They can't afford to keep them. And so we've actually been working with a rescue org in Texas since we're going to be there next week. We may actually bring a dog home with us for Christmas. So working on that, not quite there yet, but I'll keep you guys posted. Thank you for asking. It was an interesting 3 weeks. I hope that we improved her life over those 3 weeks. It was hard to let her go, but I do believe that she needed something different than we could provide. Thank you all for caring. At A-Law Radio, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Just we don't have to ask any dog questions now. And we'll do that live on Twitch TV coming up about 90 minutes from now. So that's how we'll wrap up our show here on the Infinity Sports Network.
Wing. Entry pass to Portis. Portis draws two defenders. Back out to Lopez. Lopez casts up a long three, and he splashes it through. Splash Mountain splashing down right here in the desert in Las Vegas. Here's a three-pointer from Lopez, and Lopez sinks another. It's a 20-point lead for the Bucks as Brook Lopez drains back-to-back threes. The Bucks out in front by 20. Fans on their feet celebrating this one. The Bucks have announced themselves. Yes, the Bucks are back. 97-81. They clobber the Thunder. They are the Emirates NBA Cup champions here in year two of this event.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence
on the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network. Man, it feels like a long time since we've used any NBA highlights. Ha! Football's big like that. Football's a bully. It gets really jealous when you pay any attention to anything else, any other sport. But also, if the Bucks are not popping the corks on the champagne, does that mean the NBA Cup actually didn't happen or it's not as valuable as what the NBA would like to think? I do think the players enjoy.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Being in Vegas and having this kind of one-off, which is a nationally televised game, of course, and it's the only game on the schedule on this Tuesday night, so there's that. But it wasn't a great contest. It was a really rough outing for Mark Dagnall's team. The Thunder did not shoot well. They weren't even 34% from the floor. How about this? They only had 31 points in the entire second half. So 50 points in the first half. They had a modest lead for a little while, but then 31 points was all they could muster in the second half. So yes, congratulations to Doc Rivers. Yep, he's still the coach of the Bucks, and Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard on winning the NBA Cup, but they didn't even drink the champagne provided by the NBA.
It reminds us that we can beat anybody. And we don't care if it tells everybody else that. Like, we only care about us. It's what I said in the first day of camp. I also said we can lose anybody if we don't play right, right? And I thought we learned that lesson early.
We had this goal as a team, and we accomplished it. We accomplished it. I'm very proud of everybody. I'm so happy for Dame. We got our first trophy together. And this is just the beginning. We've got to keep on improving and keep on getting better, and we will be better.
MVP for Giannis. Do you think this is something that the players hold up? I'm the MVP of the NBA Cup.
I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not, too. It's a little bit odd. I still think it's gimmicky. Winning is winning, and these guys are all, for the most part, addicted to winning. That's the most important thing. But I'm not sure you celebrate. Again, there was no champagne. The NBA Cup MVP award. Let's rank them. Regular season NBA MVP. Finals MVP. All-Star Game MVP. NBA Cup MVP. 1 to 4, Pete. Go.
I think the Finals MVP is number one.
Okay.
Then the regular season. Then the All-Star Game, then the NBA Cup.
Right. So I would do the same. I would say Finals MVP, regular season MVP, then the All-Star Game MVP, which I still think is, well, in light of the changes they're about to make, maybe not as exciting, but I still say it's a big deal because you're out there with the best players on the planet. And so there's some bragging rights with, hey, I got an All-Star Game MVP. LeBron was out there and Steph was out there and KD was out there and I'm the one that earned the MVP. So that, I think, has a little cachet with it. But NBA Cup MVP, it's a tournament, so to speak, but it's built into your regular season schedule. It's not like this is something separate from your regular season. It actually is your regular season, which is why people don't get it.
It's if they really wanted to make this stand out, they would do something very, very different.
Ooh, like they're doing with the All-Star Game? Oh, yeah. No. Kevin Durant is not on board. You'll hear from him momentarily. Here's what is important, and I appreciate that Doc Rivers said this. It gives us confidence that we can survive, even though it's not really like the NBA playoffs. These are one-offs, and yay, we get to Vegas, and it's a winner-takes-all game. But it does give us confidence that we can go toe-to-toe with stakes, even if they're not the highest of stakes, and we can come out on top. And remember, the Bucks began the season 2-8, and so here they are, having won the NBA Cup, Dame and Giannis win a trophy together, all right, but they knock off one of the best teams in the league on their way to winning this award.
I wouldn't say it completely flushes it, because we can't get those games back. You know, I think that's why it's important to not take games for granted, because, you know, you look back at the schedule and you look at four or five games that we feel like we should have won. So I don't think you can flush it, but I think we've shown that the team that we started the season as is not the team that we are now, and it was never who we truly were.
So they are second place in their own division now. They're above 500, so maybe there's that. That's the far bigger takeaway, is that they not only have learned how to win, and they've got a Giannis who is locked in again at triple-double in this championship, but they're 14-11 now. So after starting out 2-8, they've run off 12 wins in their last 15 games. That, to me, is the biggest part of this. As for the Thunder, all right, they just were bad offensively. They did have more points in the paint, which is kind of funny, but the size and length and reach of the front line for the Bucks specifically really gave them trouble in the paint. Now, as for this new NBA All-Star Game format, I could explain it to you with all of the different details, but you'll get confused because it is confusing to read it on paper. It's a round-robin tournament, essentially. You're going to have the All-Stars split up. Anybody ever take their kids, or if you coach a team in youth ball and you go to a big gym one Saturday, and it's a round-robin format, and you play a bunch of games inside your own group, and then the groups the winners of the groups compete for, it's actually not that different from the World Cup format, though it's, of course, slimmed down. It's not that extensive. So yeah, more like a round robin where the champions move on. Okay, it's just, it's, I don't know why you need it. Does this make it more competitive? I'm not sure. It splits up the All-Stars into four different teams, so you're not seeing them all together. Kevin Durant asked about his reaction.
I hate it. Absolutely hate it. It's terrible. All-Star game, formats changing, all the formats are terrible in my opinion. And we should just go back to East-West, like, just play a game. I think we've been trying to, you know, bring that flair back somehow with the All-Star weekend, but I think we just keep it traditional. But we'll see how this one works. You never know. I might be wrong. I'm just another guy with an opinion, but we'll see how it works.
So it's a little hard to hear him with the bouncing basketballs there at practice, as well as the clapping and stuff in the background. But what he's saying is, I hate it. I hate it. I think we should just go back to the traditional format. He said, yeah, changing it a lot. Not sure that this makes it more attractive. And he did admit that they wanted to have a little more cachet, but he's not sure this is the right thing. But they did announce it. The NBA All-Star Game will feature a mini tournament with four teams and three games. Two teams will meet in one of the semifinals. The remaining two teams in the other semifinal. Winning teams move on to a championship. So it's essentially a round robin with a championship at the end of it. I don't know. It just seems like it's, again, another gimmick, like the NBA midseason or in-season tournament, to try to attract people because of the newness, a little bit like the flag football game that they do now for the NFL. I watched it the first year. I haven't watched it since. I won't watch it this year. So maybe there's some novelty at the beginning. You watch it the first year, but you don't watch it again. I don't know, Pete. It doesn't seem like it's something that is sustainable in that it's any more attractive than your average run-of-the-mill 211 to 210 game.
Yeah, no, I don't think it. They're trying to reinvent the wheel, and I think they're doing a terrible job at it in the NBA with anything that they're trying to recreate. So I agree with Durant. Go back to the East West. Make it worth something. Put some stakes on it,
like home court advantage in the NBA Finals.
Do that. Try that.
Do you remember how mad people were about that in baseball?
Oh, but look, I'm not going to watch it. You could do whatever you want. The days of when I would watch when Jordan would play Karl Malone in the All-Star game. I'm not watching it. So you're not getting me.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how much of a bump it gets. The NBA is definitely hemorrhaging, TV viewers. And this is some way to try to suck them in with a new idea. But the more you change it, the less people will be engaged by it. At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Now, it's not coming up next. We've actually moved it to the final hour of the show. Our tech guru is going to help us throw it up live on Twitch TV, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNet. There is a link on our show Twix. So at Amy After Hours, I'll retweet it so it's there. You can just use the link to go to twitch.tv. And so instead, we'll talk a little more football after the update. And here's, I love this. I love that people are so engaged. Week 15. Here is the final margin of victory for the winning TD of the week. Okay, so you voted. We had a flurry of votes right before the deadline. The final margin of victory, Pete, are you ready for this? 0.4%. The winning touchdown over the runner-up by 0.4%.
Our closest one in a while.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love it. This is when it really gets good here in the final month of the season. 855-212-4227 plus the latest on Patrick Mahomes. We're glad that you're with us. Good morning to you if it's your Wednesday. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Pat Boyle.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, for simple, smart savings on your prescriptions, go to GoodRx.com or download the free GoodRx app. Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA Cup champions, winning the second edition of the tournament by beating the OKC Thunder in the title game. 97-81 in Vegas. Head coach Doc Rivers after on winning the cup and what it means.
Yeah, I just think it reminds us that we can beat anybody. And we don't care if it tells everybody else that. Like, we only care about us. It's what I said in the first day of camp. Also said we can lose anybody if we don't play right, right? And I thought we learned that lesson early.
Giannis with a triple-double in the win, 26 points, 19 rebounds, 10 assists. Said after the win, he's proud of the team.
We had this goal as a team, and we accomplished it. We accomplished it. I'm very proud of everybody. I'm so happy for Dame that he got we got our first trophy together. And this is just the beginning. We've got to keep on improving, keep on getting better, and we will be better.
Damian Lillard added 23 points as well. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander struggled in the loss for the Thunder, 21 points, but he shot just 8 of 24 from the field. College football, number 25 Memphis outlasted West Virginia 42-37 in the Frisco Bowl, and Michael Vick is reportedly taking the head coaching job at Norfolk State. Huge NFL news. The Falcons are benching Kirk Cousins and going with the rookie Michael Penix Jr. the rest of the way. The 8th overall pick in April played a handful of snaps in 2 blowout losses earlier this season, but he's got the keys now. Head coach Raheem Morris did not commit to making a decision when he spoke to the media Tuesday afternoon, but he was peppered with questions about it and affirmed that the reason the Falcons drafted Penix 8th overall was because they wanted their future set up.
Didn't want to have that gap again, and that was always things you want to think about. So it's just the initial plan and how you want to go about your business and how you want things to happen.
And that future is now. Atlanta 7-7. One game behind Tampa in the NFC South with 3 games to go. And baseball, the Yankees acquired Cody Bellinger and $5 million in cash from the Cubs for pitcher Cody Petit. I'm Pat Boyle.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram. Listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 man to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Made a guy miss. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown!
Southern's helping into the end zone. Touchdown!
People have spoken, and one score stands above the rest. Here is your TD of the week, the Denver Broncos.
Quads to the right, 4 receivers right. This is going to be a double pass. They throw it, complete it, throw it back to Richardson. It's going to be intercepted. Intercepted, Nick Bonito. Bonito to the end zone. Touchdown, Denver.
So at the end of the day, you want to do whatever it takes to win the game. It's a tough league, played by tough people, and they had a really, you know, tough defense. They were stout. They played really well. They played the pass well. They played the run well. Had a hard time getting the run game going, and then, you know, turned the ball over 3 times in the air. So that's never going to be, you know, the recipe for success.
But the defense picked up the offense for the Denver Broncos, and actually they can clinch a playoff spot for the first time since Super Bowl 50 with a win in Week 16. That's the voice of the rookie quarterback, Bo Nix. But before that, Dave Logan on what was a defensive play, a stunner. And they talked about that and the way that it completely changed the tone of the game against the Indianapolis Colts, where the Colts built a big lead. But this was a huge turning point for Denver in rallying to win. 0.4 of a percentage point. Nick Bonito's fumble return on Broncos radio just nips Mike Evans' 57-yard touchdown strike from Baker Mayfield. That was one of the closest votes we've ever had for TD of the week. I love it. Thanks so much for taking all of our polls at Amy After Hours. That's where you can find them. That's where they generally originate. Also, if you're looking for the post with the option to ask. Wait, this is like Jeopardy, and I have to figure out the right way to say it. To ask your questions, which I will answer next hour as part of Ask Amy Anything. Plus, we've got the link there for the Twitch TV spot where you can see us answer live. We do have ugly Christmas sweaters. So if you're missing Ask Amy right now, it's because we're doing it an hour from now on Twitch TV, and then it'll be thrown up on our YouTube channel as well. But yes, Pete is already wearing his ugly Christmas sweater. You really can't tell it's Christmas except for the, well, there's one way that you can tell it's a Christmas sweater, but it really very little about it screams Christmas. I have an ugly Christmas sweater that's more classic. I would say there are different iterations of the ugly Christmas sweater. Last year, my husband wore an ugly Christmas collared shirt. I thought he was kind of cheating. It was ugly, though. I'll give you that. It was the ugliest shade of baby poop green that you've ever seen, and with a bunch of red trees on it. So it was pretty ugly, but it was not a sweater. Now, you've got a sweater. How do we know for sure it's Christmas? Is it just because of the trees?
Yes. And, okay. And when purchased, it was listed as holiday sweater.
Oh, all right. So the store listed it as a holiday sweater, which means it's definitely a holiday sweater. And it is relatively ugly. I'll give you that. Not kind of the classic type, but that'll be me. I don't have it on yet because mine is pretty thick. It's meant for someone to wear in Antarctica. So I haven't put it on yet. It makes me look like I'm wearing 7 sweaters. You know, some people layer up. They wear 7 sweaters. It makes me look like I'm wearing 7 sweaters because it's so thick. But we'll do that an hour from now on Twitch TV. A few minutes left to get your questions in for Ask Amy Anything. So online at Amy After Hours, or look for the bright orange box on our Facebook page. While we're talking about week 16, we know the Lions have been dealt with so many injuries. It's hard to understand how they can sustain this winning and sustain the high level of play they've had throughout this season, including an 11-game win streak with a number of injuries. By the way, I did see an interview with David Montgomery. He was doing a coat drive, a Christmas coat drive, and he was interviewed, and he said that they aren't hitting IR yet. It's still a possibility. He's hoping to avoid IR, and it sounds like they're getting second opinions, even though what we heard from Dan Campbell is that their running back is lost for the season because of a torn MCL, but they have not put him yet on IR. Dan Campbell does a weekly interview on 97.1 The Ticket, which is our Detroit affiliate, and he is back to his old energetic, confident self.
We got a bad taste in our mouth. We got kicked around the other day. We lost a few guys, and you know what? It's exactly what we needed. This is exactly what we needed. So we're going to bounce back. We're going to respond. We got guys that are about to have an unbelievable opportunity here, and we will play the game any way needed to win.
It's exactly what we needed. That's what Dan Campbell told his local Detroit radio station. It's exactly what we needed. We got kicked in the teeth. Instead of biting kneecaps, they took a couple of kicks to the teeth. It's like a mule. Just kick you in the teeth. They did lose that game to Buffalo. But more importantly, I would say more critically, they lose 3 members of the defense. 2 that are gone for the rest of the year. 1 that may be able to return. But also David Montgomery, who is really spearheading that offense behind the great O-line along with Jahmyr Gibbs. So how do you navigate the final 3 weeks in the postseason, Coach?
I don't give a crap. If we got to win by 1 point for the rest of the year, that's what we're going to do. And I'm going to be happy about it. We come out of the game with 50 yards of total offense and we win by 1,
oh,
you're going to see smiles on my face. I promise you.
I love that from Dan Campbell. I don't care how we win. If we win 12-11 and we have 50 yards of offense the rest of the way, I'm good with that. Of course, it's unlikely that if you get into the postseason, especially in the NFC, when you think about the other top contenders right now, the Vikings, also the Eagles, even the Packers, who can put up points in bunches, it's unlikely that a 12-11 score is the final outcome, or that you can win by only putting up 50 yards. And that's the deal, is there most of their injuries are on defense. And so you really can't just put up 50 yards and expect to win those games. It's funny too, because he says, I don't care if we win by 1 point the rest of the way. Isn't that exactly what the Chiefs do? They finally blew out a team this past weekend. I guess if you could say blowing out is winning by 2 scores, they beat Cleveland. For the first time all season, they were ahead by 3 scores. And then Patrick Mahomes got injured in the fourth quarter. He did suffer a high ankle sprain. Andy Reid saw his QB practice in full on Tuesday.
If he can go, he'll go. If he can't, then he can't. I mean, you know, that's keep it that simple. We're not, you know, that's how we'll roll with it. So And then I'll just take it. I'll just take it day by day and see how he does here.
Carson Wentz is the backup QB, and they play Saturday against the Texans. We know that Patrick Mahomes is stubborn, and he's going to want to play even if he's on one leg. But what about Carson?
He's started in the league and been successful. He's got a great feel for this offense. Very smart. Big arm. I mean, I like the way he carries himself. I like everything about him. He should be starting in this league somewhere, you know. So he's a heck of a player.
Maybe Carson Wentz just needed to find a more stable system, right? Similar to a Sam Darnold. Carson's been through the ringer, but he was an MVP candidate once when he tore his ACL in early December. Remember that? Eagles were a top seed and Nick Foles took over, and the rest is Super Bowl history. Hey, I just saw this tweet to us. Pete, are you ready? Joey wants to know, when are my bikes going to get that respect of a serious contender? Oh, I don't know. Maybe when you spell check and make sure that you write Vikes and not bikes, then they'll get the respect of a serious contender.
The fighting bikes.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.